Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on the recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Catherine Campano. Today is October 19, and this podcast episode is brought to you by Proofpoint. In today's top story, the BSI, Germany's cybersecurity agency, took down this week a web server used to control malware deployed by the Iranian government to spy on participants of recent anti-government protests. The server was identified over the weekend by Hamid Kashfi, a security engineer at Trail of Bits, confirmed a tip that the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, a branch of the Iranian military, was manually installing malware on the devices of detained anti-government protesters. Kashfi obtained multiple copies of the malware, which he later identified as a version of the Lemon Android remote access Trojan, and found that all samples were communicating with a VPS server based in Germany, on which the BSI acted this week. The researchers warned that even if the server is now down, the danger to protesters continues, as IRGC operators are most likely to set up a new one for subsequent deployments. Iranians detained by the government over the past few weeks are advised to reset their smartphones, as Kashfi says that the Lemon Rat has no advanced persistent capabilities, and this will remove the malware from any compromised devices. Moving on to other government-related news, we have another story on the BSI in today's show. The German Interior Ministry dismissed yesterday Arne Schönborn, the head of the BSI, after a report in German media last week accused Schönborn of having undisclosed connections to Russian intelligence services via a private sector endeavor. German government officials didn't confirm the reports, but said they sacked Schönborn, who has been in charge of the BSI since February 2016, because he damaged the necessary confidence of the public in the neutrality and impartiality of the BSI. Another government-related story comes via Guillaume Giraud, a former employee of the French Internal Security Service, DGSI, who revealed in a book published last month that during a visit for exchange of experience in 2006 with their Dutch counterparts, Dutch officials revealed that they found a backdoor in equipment supplied by an Israeli vendor to the country's communications wiretapping center located in Driebergen. Giraud said that the 2006 visit and the disclosure from Dutch officials was one of the main reasons why French authorities built the PNIJ interception platform using only homemade systems, taking what he described as a no Israeli suppliers approach. After the book made some waves in the Netherlands last week, a spokesperson for the Dutch government rebuffed Giraud and told local newspaper De Volkskrant that the backdoor story was nonsense. Meanwhile in the US, US Cyber Command said that over the course of 10 days between October 3 and 14, the agency worked with industry partners to scan DoD networks to find and remove traces of publicly known malware strains. Also in the US, the Washington Post reported on Tuesday that the FBI has also been busy over the past month notifying US political parties that Chinese threat actors were scanning their domains ahead of the upcoming midterm elections in what appears to be a potential precursor to hacking operations. In data breaches and hacking news, Stime Median Group, a German news agency, dealt with a ransomware attack that crippled its network over the weekend in a very unique way. Because the attack impacted its ability to print and ship newspapers to subscribers, the agency published e-versions of their papers and released them via their websites. In the US, Verizon dealt with another cybersecurity issue this month, and the company is now notifying some of its customers that their accounts were targeted during a recent wave of SIM swapping attacks that took place between October 3rd and 10th. The company says it reversed the SIM card changes and found no evidence of new attacks since it first detected the incident. Meanwhile, the world of cryptocurrencies also continues to be a trash fire, and after only a few days of quiet, another platform disclosed a major hack. This time it was cryptocurrency wallet BitKeep, which said on Tuesday that an attacker exploited a bug in its platform and stole roughly 1 million worth of assets from its customers. In cybercrime-related news, Europol said authorities in France, Spain and Latvia detained 31 suspects and dismantled a car thief ring that used malicious software to hijack key fobs and steal cars across Europe. Europol said the thefts took place using a special tool that targeted keyless vehicles from two French car manufacturers. This tool was marketed online as an automotive diagnostic solution that let car owners replace their car's original software but also allow them to open doors and start vehicles without their key fob. Europol said it detained the tool's developers, its resellers and the car thieves who used it. In Eastern Europe, Bulgarian authorities charged and said they will seek the extradition of a Russian citizen for launching a series of DDoS attacks against Bulgarian websites over the last weekend. Officials said the suspect is from the city of Magnitogorsk and was identified as a member of Russian hacktivist group Killnet, which took credit for the DDoS attacks. In South Korea, the Ministry of Science and ICT said on Monday that it took down a malicious website that was using the nationwide confusion caused by a fire at one of the KakaoTalk data centers to distribute malware to users impacted by the app's downtime. In threat intelligence news, Eclipsium CTO Scott Schefferman issued a warning this week about a new and very advanced UEFI bootkit that is currently being sold on underground hacking forums. Named Black Lotus, the malware is being sold to cybercrime gangs for only $5,000. In cyber espionage news, Kaspersky researchers said they spotted multiple APT groups exploiting a recently disclosed Zimbra Zero Day, and that one group in particular has been, we quote, systematically infecting all vulnerable servers in Central Asia, end quote. The good news is that after leaving the vulnerability unpatched for almost a month, Zimbra has finally released a patch for the issue, tracked as CV-2022-41352, earlier this week. Also in vulnerability news, a recently disclosed security flaw in the Apache Commons text library, tracked as CV-2022-42889, has been widely described as the next Log4Shell disaster, but in an in-depth analysis published by Rapid7, the company's researchers said this assessment was just misplaced hype and the vulnerability is nowhere near as severe. This week, a team of academics from the Hong Kong Polytechnic University also published details about MagSound, an attack that uses magnetic interference induced by a wireless charger to send malicious commands to a smartphone while charging. Since the voice commands are created using magnetic waves, the attack is inaudible to humans. The research team said they developed two versions of this attack, one named Heartworm and the second named Parasite, and successfully tested their research against 17 different smartphones and 6 different voice assistants. And last but not least, we started the show with BSI news and we're gonna end it with another BSI story. On Tuesday, the German cybersecurity agency released a new tool named SAM, or System Activity Monitor, that extends the default event tracing for Windows API to enable the recording of extra parameters and events on Windows systems, which could later be used for debugging and incident response. This is it for today's news. In our sponsored section, Cheryl DeGrippo, Proofpoint's Vice President of Threat Research and Detection, provides an overview of the cybercrime landscape in Western Africa, which has been recently in the news after Interpol has been cracking down on some of the local cybercrime gangs.
So we hear a lot about threat actors that are based out of Russia and Eastern Europe and what they're doing. But I think something to really watch is this landscape in Western Africa that is quickly evolving and showing us that innovation doesn't always have to be the most technically savvy, but the attacks can be relatively damaging, especially if you get something like a rat on a machine and then it's leveraged as an initial access point either to deploy ransomware directly or to sell off, make a little money on that, and let the next stage threat actors decide what those payloads might be. So we see them operationalizing really similarly to the way threat actors in Russia and Eastern Europe have operationalized for years. The West African groups, they tend to be a little less sophisticated. They tend to use a lot of different devices. So they're not just on laptops and servers, they're on phones, tablets, etc. And they're doing a variety of attacks, everything from this off-the-shelf malware to really long social engineering attacks where they gain the confidence of their target. The way a lot of these West African groups are set up is they have one or two people focused on a particular capability. They have a graphic designer, they have someone who makes fake invoices, they have someone who works on infrastructure and getting sending capability so they can send out their email. They kind of break it up into different operational capabilities and they bring people into the fold when they need someone to do sending or technical attacks, or in this case, it looks like they've brought somebody on who's pretty comfortable using the malicious macro doc builders, and they're using LCGKit off the shelf to build malicious macros and send them out at high volume.
This is it for today's news. You can find links to all the technical reports mentioned in this podcast in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com, and you can subscribe to our podcast via our website at risky.biz.